hope we beat their ass today.
And I'm going to tell you what, the tortillas were flying.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors and SB Nation. You are on. Guys, you're on with your boy, I'll be sure. And on this solemn day after the happening, the wreckage, I have my right-hand man, Dylan Smythe, with me. Dylan, did you survive?
I survived, but there have certainly been better days to be a Red Raider.
A lot better. I mean, it's not the worst day to be a Red Raider, but there's been many, many better days to be a Red Raider. Your friendly reminder that we're not too far away from basketball season.
They're on the practice court officially.
They are on the practice court. Soccer has done really well this semester. Volleyball has done really well this semester.
You know, track's about to come out of the gates hot.
Yep, you know, defending national champs. Don't forget baseball. So a lot of other really good sports at Texas Tech University. Football just doesn't happen to be one of them.
And it hasn't been. Just friendly reminder, and it hasn't been for a decade.
And it hasn't been. So if you wonder what we're talking about, I'm sure you already know. Texas Tech loses in Norman to Oklahoma 55-16. I mean, what were your initial thoughts, Dylan, watching this game?
So I actually I was working and didn't watch the first half live. So I picked up in the third quarter, and the team had already quit at this point. Like, it was clear from the play calling. It was clear from attitude, body language. The team had quit. And then upon further review, it seemed like they quit right after they were down 17-0, right after they pulled the plug on Jackson Tyner. Like, it just, we were uninterested in competing in this game.
Which makes you believe, and so I actually kind of agree with it that they quit. I don't know if they necessarily quit the second we pulled Tyner, but it does make me question, though, just did this team have zero, like, we joke all the time about the fact that they were going to get blown out. We knew they were going to get blown out. I talked about it last week, you know.
We took heat for talking about how we were going to get blown out.
Yeah, we knew it. But at the same time, you would imagine that the players would still be pump out their chest and want to win. And you got to question whether the players, the staff, everybody just walked into Norman saying, yeah, we're going to get whooped anyway. Because from the very beginning, that's kind of how it looked. Like, it kind of looked like, well, we're just gonna get whooped anyway. One of the comments we received last week is the fact that we were treating Tech as if we were U of H, and U of H is an American Athletic team. So we're big boys in the Big 12 conference. The team that played on Saturday looked like they were playing Goliath. They looked like they were playing this, you know, creme de la creme squad, and we were this lowly Conference USA team. And that's how they appeared right from the beginning. That's how they appeared the whole game. It definitely was not a pretty sight. And to make matters worse, is not only were the players playing bad, it seemed like the coaches did not care. The coaches just came out, two halfback passes. Like, some of the play calling, my goodness, it basically seemed like the whole game it was just experiments after experiments, as if it was a preseason game on their end, because from the very beginning it was like, well, we're not going to win anyway, so what does it matter?
Yeah, we made a joke last week that, hey, we should just game plan for Oklahoma State, and it's almost like that looked like what we did. I don't understand the Jackson Tyner experiment. I don't understand the amount of just 4-yard in routes that we called. I just really, it was so frustrating to watch.
So let's get in on the offense then, since we're kind of already there. So Jackson Tyner, I've talked about it for weeks. Actually, even before the season started, I talked about how bad Jackson Tyner was. Now, I'm just a lowly analyst. Like, we run a podcast. That's about it. You know, we write articles on Viva the Matadors about Tech. But that's it. We're just blog boys. That's really all we are. We're just blog boys. So for me, a blog boy, to look, sit back and say, man, I watched a decent amount of Jackson Tyner at Rice live. He sucks. Right? He couldn't win. So off of the fact that I'm like, he can win the starting job at Rice. He sucks. For you to come back to me and you, Matt Wells, and you, David Yost, and say, man, we're the all-knowing third eye. We know that this Jackson Tyner kid is actually pretty good. We know more than anybody else that Jackson Tyner can actually play. And you guess what? He came out and laid a huge egg. He was awful. He was awful. Because you know what? He sucks. He's not good. If I'm a blog boy, I can tell that. A lot of people could tell that. He's not good.
Here's what I think went into that decision, though. I think what they saw with their eyeballs for the 2 weeks leading up to this game, Jackson Tyner is obviously a better practice quarterback. You know, he shows you a little more consistency. He's good in practice. But what we've seen from Jet Duffy is he's a gamer. And Matt Wells should have realized that from the beginning.
I'll say this. I'll give Jet Duffy this credit. And this is actually really the main positive thing I took away from the entire game. Is that Jet Duffy actually think played pretty well. He didn't do a lot, but he made some decent throws, right? He was able to hit a couple guys on target. He was able to make there was not a play that was just out of it with Jet Duffy, and he was able to make some things shake. Even his one huge mistake in the game, I wasn't too upset because it was off a play that should have been a 5-yard sack that he made. He made something shake into like a 6-7-yard gain that just, defender made a really good play on the ball and caused a fumble. But I actually thought Jet probably, if anybody had to be the player of the game, it was probably him. I thought his stats don't really show it because his stats are bad. But if you watch the game, I actually thought Jet had played a pretty decent game and solidified himself as the backup to Alan Bowman.
Our best player was the kicker on offense. Scored the most points, let's be real. But I agree. Through the first two drives before this team totally quit on the game, Jet Duffy looked solid. I don't want to say he looked great. I don't want to say he looked good. But he looked solid against an Oklahoma team that, let's be real, is just so much more talented than this Texas Tech team is across the board.
Yeah. Well, one thing I will say is that another thing that I really questioned was I actually thought that – I said that Jet Duffy probably had the best. Actually, another guy that I think played really well was Sirajic Thompson. And 13 carries for Sirajic Thompson, 8 for Tazon Hendry, 5 for Armon Shine. I like the running game that we got going. I just didn't like it's stat-wise, it looked like we really ran the ball well, but the problem is we called runs at the worst time, right? We called run on the third and – third and 18 we called a run? Like, we called a run at the worst time.
And the result was 1 of 14 on third downs.
Yeah, and so that makes you question, like, yo, like, it's okay. I'm also okay with running the ball because we don't have the best passers right now. That's fine. I have no problem with running the ball. But third and 18, third and 9, third and 7, why are we running the ball at these moments? Let's get the first down. And that's calls like that are the reason why we question it. Are they just game planning for Oklahoma State? Did they even care about this game at all? Like, what was this game to them, to the David Wells staff, just a let's just get through with this game? Was this like a Utah, maybe back at Utah State, you get paid $1 million to go get beat up by Alabama? Was it that their mindset going in this game? That's what it seemed like.
Buddy, this is a conference game. You got to at least show up. That, I wasn't expecting a win. You know, you listen to our last podcast, we were pretty sure that we were going to get demolished in this game, and we did. But I wanted to see, offense. I wanted to see somebody take a shot down the field. I wanted to see a pass that traveled more than 10 yards in the air. We averaged 4.5 yards per completion. That's just ugly football and one of the worst offensive performances we've seen in Tech history. I don't want to say history, but in the last 10 years.
It's one of the – I don't know about that. We've had
there's Kansas State last year, and there's Iowa State
Iowa State. There's Oklahoma State, the Blackman when Blackman and the old man came in and demolished us. That's the time. That's the worst offensive
performance. Brandon Whedon?
Whedon. When they beat us 66-6, that's the worst. That's king – worst game in Tech history.
Hey, how about this? The worst back-to-back offensive performances in the decade.
All right, fair enough. That actually might be the case. And unfortunately, and I don't like playing this game, but it is what it is. When you're always going to compare to the guy before you. And as much as I disliked Cliff. I disliked Cliff almost from as far as the head coach. I never thought he proved anything. And then he didn't really do well towards the end of it. I was not a huge Cliff fan. But I don't think there was ever a time where I watched a game and I thought that it didn't look like we deserved to be in the same conference as the other team. And this was the first time, probably as a Tech fan that I can think of, I watched this game. Actually, no, the first time since the Oklahoma State loss. That 66-6 game. It was the first time I look at two teams and I'm like, it doesn't even look like we're in the same conference. And that's scary.
Well, and there's two ways to really think about that, because like this is the most talented Oklahoma team they've had in the last few years, and that's saying a lot. There's a good chance this team doesn't lose a game. Like, we got to be real. This is a college football playoff contender, and I would think a favorite to take it all.
So and let me ask you this then. Should we just be giving Oklahoma that much more credit for making us look pedestrian, or did we look pedestrian because we are pedestrian?
I mean, it's always, I'm a firm believer, if nothing's black and white, the answer lies somewhere in the middle. But it's a little bit of both, just because Oklahoma is, seriously, they're going to win the championship. There's a good chance they're going to win the championship. And then I think people had expectations going to this game that we were going to hang around, or that this isn't a rebuilding process. Like, hey, we have a new first-year head coach going against a college football playoff contender. Like, how did you think this was going to go? So I think it's Texas time, Tech fans getting their hopes up for no good reason once again.
I agree with that, but at the same time, Wells said it wasn't a rebuild. He's the one that put those expectations out
this
there.
This is true.
You know, he's the one that said that this
That's a good point.
Yeah, he's the one that got these transfers.
Said, not a rebuild year.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that coming into the season, I actually thought this team was fairly talented, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You know, offensively, I thought there was a lot of mix and matches they would have to do, but I thought the biggest, most talent that they had was on the O-line and defensively. And that did not show in this game. And so we can switch to that side of the ball, Tech defense. The Tech defense that had tackled really well the first 3 weeks, that actually even had improved tackling last year, the terrible Tech tackling of yesteryear reared its ugly head. This team couldn't tackle for words I can't say. Like, this, the tackling was absolutely horrendous in this game. I have not seen tackling this bad in a little bit, and so it was definitely fairly depressing.
Yeah, I think if you're Keith Patterson, except for, hey, guys, like, our tackling was atrocious. It was embarrassing. It was middle school level. It was awful. You pretty much throw this game away.
Yeah, I agree with
like
that.
Like I said, this team's going to be a college football playoff. This is the most powerful offense in college football right now. Like, Jalen Hurts is a two-headed monster. He's going to the NFL. He's going to win that Heisman. Like, there's just no stopping this team. So, like I said, you kind of just throw it away. But you're right. Tackling, like, that was just outrageous. Yeah,
and I actually think the defense was actually – funny enough, so defense gave up 55 points. We talk about the tackling. But they were in position a lot of times. Like, many, many times I saw situations where they had Jalen Hurts bottled up, or they had Trey Sermon at the line of scrimmage, or, you know, our secondary was in good position to make a play on the ball. And so they were in position many of the times, right? And so that's something that's reassuring defensively, because there's been times in the past that they've just let up wide open, you know, catches and wide open passes and things like that. Most of the time, whenever there was an open pass, I thought more of, man, Jalen Hurts and Lincoln Riley are really good, as opposed to, man, our defense is really bad. The biggest problem, like we said, is that they'd be in position to make the sack, and then Jalen Hurts is a bad, bad boy, so he gets away from it. Or they'd be in position to make the tackle and make it only a 3-yard gain, but then they get juked out of their shoes, run into each other, look like the Three Stooges, and then a 20-yard gain has been done. And so that's the biggest problem is that if they were sure tacklers, there's probably at least 2 touchdowns that's taken off the board if they just knew how to tackle.
Yeah, and a lot of it was just garbage time. Like, this, the defense was on the field too much. Like, the defense was on the field that whole game because, you know, our first 3 possessions were 3 and outs virtually. And aside from 2 drives from Jet Duffy, like, there was nothing on offense. So, like I said, the defense, throw it away. Work on tackling for the next 3 weeks, but throw it away.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I will say this. I actually, giving up 55 points, I know it's a lot. I know a lot of people making fun of Tech defense. I actually did not hate the defense nowhere near as much as I hated the offense in this game, because, like I said, defense was in position many of the times to make plays. It's just Jalen Hurts. Let me tell you something. I'm on the Jalen Hurts bandwagon. I know we're not supposed to like Oklahoma players, but I don't like Alabama players. I like them over there. He's really good. Good news is,
if I'm an NFL team and I miss out on Tua, I want Jalen Hurts
over Herbert and
Lawrence. Fromm? Yeah.
Well, Lawrence in 2021.
Fromm's looked pretty good, too. No, I'll say Fromm's my number 2 guy.
We'll see. And Fromm's my number two guy. That's Fromm's a bad, bad boy. But Hurts, you know, and Hurts is a bigger Murray. He's bigger than Murray. He's
well, that, yeah, exactly. He's Kyler Murray with height and like the ability to take a hit.
Yeah. So, I will say, as far as on the defensive side of the ball, if I had to choose anybody, I thought Rico had a really good game. I think this was his first good game of the season, because I think the first three games he was just one of the guys, so I think he really stood out in this game.
Douglas Coleman, interception.
Douglas Coleman also had another really decent game. I think Jordan Brooks probably had the worst game of the season yesterday. He had two missed sacks. He again was a big problem when it came to missed tackles, which is weird because he is about as sure of a tackler as I've seen it put on a Texas Tech uniform. So that was very surprising. But two guys that have disappointed me from the beginning and still today laid an egg. Adrian Fry, who got hurt. I've been dealing with an injury this year. And then Eli Howard. What is up with that? And I know Eli Howard got a sack in this game, but he did not play well.
It was his first appearance this season. But yeah, it's just through a few games, we really thought he'd be like our pass rusher. And we did have a pass rush last year, and we don't have one this year.
I mean, you got to think about it. Remember, coming into the season, we said that each unit has a guy, right? We said that for linebackers, it's Jordan Brooks. For secondary, it's Adrian Fry. And for linemen, it's Eli Howard. And so far, of those three units, only one guy has shown up. Now, Broderick Washington has kind of taken over for the D-line. Like, they've had replacements. Broderick Washington for the D-line, and then maybe
Douglas Coleman. Douglas Coleman. In the secondary.
Yeah, but, and so those replacements are great, but we still need you guys who were supposed to be Big 12 All-Conference candidates to play like Big 12 All-Conference candidates. And so so that's kind of the issue there. So, but, well, Dylan, it is time for a break. So we're going to talk more Texas Tech football here in a little bit. Talk about one of our guys. Tyler had hefty complaints, you know, so he put it in there. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and then get into some more Big 12 games. You are listening to the Air Raid Podcast with Viva the Matadors and SB Nation. And you are back on the Air Raid Podcast, talking Texas Tech's loss to Oklahoma. And one of our guys, one of the members of the podcast, Tyler, had a hot take. We were talking in Slack earlier, and he had a hot take. And, you know, he was pretty irate after this loss. He was pretty irate. And so I kind of want to talk about, Dylan, I want to talk about what Tyler said about Matt Wells. And so this is what he said from Tyler. Matt Wells coached scared and instilled no confidence in the team. His demeanor in his post-game presser, chewing gum, joking, and smiling after getting nearly 60 hung on him, was disgusting. He is a coward, and we're not going to win many games with this dude. Woo! Man, that's a hot take. Man, Tyler came out with the yopper on that one. What's your reaction to that?
Classic Texas Tech fan base overreaction is what that is. Like, he's not wrong in the things that he's saying, at least part of it. Like, he did give up. There was no confidence instilled in this team. I really do think they might have just brushed past this game on the schedule, said, let's start looking at Oklahoma State. And, you know, as fans, you just don't want to see that. You want to see an effort. You want to see teams try. It's the chewing gum in the press conference kills me, because all you do is hear, like, right, like in between questions, and that's just the worst thing in the world. I couldn't even watch the press conference, but I think it's too early to say we're not going to win very many games with this dude. He's trying to change the culture, and that takes time.
So I agree with both of y'all in a way. So I do think that his demeanor in the post game presser isn't good. It's not a good look. It's not a good look when you get whooped the way you do, and for you to just get up there like it's all hunky dory. Sometimes you gotta fake it till you make it, right? Even if you don't care, this ain't Utah State, my guy. Like, you gotta, people actually care that the fact that you're just up there chilling. Like, you gotta fake it till you make it, and you haven't earned the cachet to just go up there and just be lackadaisical, right? Like, Dabo Swinney gets upset by Pittsburgh, and yeah, he can go up there and be a little lackadaisical. He's earned that, but you haven't. So I definitely agree that you can't do that's just not good. Did he instill any confidence in his team? No. Did he coach scared? Yes. But the main part I have a problem with, and like you were saying, is that we're not going to win many games with this dude. We don't know. I'm not a Matt Wells fan. I didn't like the hire, right? And if you asked me, I'd say, yeah, we're probably not going to win many games with this dude. But these last four games isn't what makes me believe that we're not going to win many games with this guy. Many things before that, what I was saying initially, is what makes me think that. But these last four games isn't what it's going to do. What we're going to know as far as we're going to win many games with this dude is what actually happens after this season. Right, like as far as I'm concerned, this season where he, I think, you know what I think the biggest problem Matt Wells did, Dylan, is I think he put Tech fans' expectations too high,
and we love getting our hopes up.
Oh man, and you know what? That's his. He didn't know that. That's our fault, right? He didn't know that he can't do that with Tech fans, right? He did the we us are. He had 35 captains up there, right? He did. Oh man, I even drank the Kool-Aid. Remember, I moved my prediction from 5-7 to 6-6 before the season started. I even drank the Kool-Aid. I should be ashamed of myself. All right. It is, at the end of the day, it is what it is. What I was talking about before the season even started, Matt Wells, this is a rebuild. And with Matt Wells, the problem that I am having with Wells, and I didn't expect, is that it's two games in a row he's just been unabashedly
without out. A doubt.
Like, and that's what I didn't expect. Like, I didn't expect, there was other things that I thought Matt Wells may struggle with. But I didn't think there'd be a situation where he would just be ridiculous. Now, being outcoached by Lincoln Riley is not the worst thing, because almost everybody is. But some of the things that were done in this game definitely raises concerns. Being outcoached by Kevin Sumlin, that's something to be ashamed of. Like, there's really no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, that's just not good. Dylan, I kind of transitioned to my next point. What's the state of the team? Like, what are we looking at right now going forward?
It's hard to tell. I feel like what really needs to happen is Jet Duffy needs to earn Matt Wells' trust for this thing to get turned around. Because you saw it when they refused to play him, but it's obvious that he's the better player. So if Matt Wells and Jet Duffy can get together and David Yost can call some plays that aren't just four-yard out routes and design stuff for Jet Duffy, I don't think the season's lost. I mean, we're not going to win too many games, but I think we could win six, maybe. I think it's ridiculous. Like, I don't know, after the game, you'll see one of our guys, Mackin, I don't even know his first name, Mackin, goes live on Instagram, and he said, clean house on the offensive staff. And again, I think that's overreaction Sunday kicking in. Don't clean the house. Don't turn your back on these guys. It's been a rough two games. But it's all is not lost. The Big 12 is not killing it this year. There are some wins left on this schedule.
So I actually think Jet Duffy's actually already earned the trust. If Matt Wells, if you don't believe in Jet Duffy by this point over Jackson Tyner, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you got a lot more problems than I ever thought. If you look at that game and be like, you know, I don't know about that Jet Duffy guy. Jackson's our guy. Like no, I think Jet Duffy, I think, played well enough to earn that trust as the backup. Like, it's not like we're asking him.
But they need to trust him to throw the ball downfield.
Yeah.
They need to trust him to do more than dink and dunk his way to 1-14 on third down.
The problem, I think, is that I think that's just kind of the offense, right? Like, and because
the offensive line, that's the one coach I'd fire immediately.
Yeah, that's
the offensive line play has been a crutch. We can't do anything because our offensive line is just a terrible.
And that's I 100% agree with that. And that's what's supposed to be a strength. Everybody came back.
Yeah, every single one of these guys has playing time, and they looked good last year. I don't know what happened.
They all came back. We have a guy that's going to be a top three round pick in the NFL next year, and they've looked terrible. And that's the situation. Now, I will say this. Like, this offense, the David Yost offense, like I said, is similar to Neil Brown, that it is quick outs. It is screens. It is quick slants. It is things like that. It is getting the ball out. So that doesn't cause for a lot of blocking. So maybe they're just not practicing it. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they're like, no, we just do quick plays. So don't even worry about it. Like, y'all can just go sit on the bench until Saturday. Maybe that's what it is. But So the digging and dunking, I actually don't have too much of a problem with it. But with Neil Brown's offense, if you remember during those days, it was dink, dunk, big play.
Right? You have to take the shot. Otherwise, they can't respect it. All they're going to do is crowd the box, bring the DBs forward. Like, you have to take that shot.
Yeah, you have to keep them honest. And so when you, but you, like you said, and that's what Oklahoma did. Oh, they, in the second half, they were teeing off. Second half, Oklahoma defense was teeing off, and they could, because there was no big play. And Jack Duffy has the arm for it. That's another thing. Is in the game, we even saw, I think they did do a couple game plays where he was able to throw the ball down the field. And he has the arm for it. He showed that. You know what? I just think Jack Duffy went in the lab and kind of got better. This Jack Duffy that we saw Saturday, I think, was even better than the one that beat TCU. I think it was better than some of the ones that we saw last year. Because he did actually launch it. I remember one, he launched to the sideline, and I was like, okay, all right, Jack.
His touchdown pass that got called back was a really nice throw.
Yeah, it was. So I look at that and say, but you have to do that. You can't just screen here, quick slant here, or Oklahoma defense, like they were doing, will just tee off on it, right? And so I agree that they do have to trust that aspect of it. Now, as far as you saying six wins, I expected us to be 2-2 at this point. So it's not the fact that we've lost. It's kind of how we've lost, especially the Arizona game, man. That hurt me. How we lost that game hurt me. I simply don't see six wins on this team. I'm right now trying to find two. I don't see more than two more wins.
Kansas, West Virginia, TCU are all doable. That's five. So if
they're doable, that's it. That's as far as
I think we know what Kansas State is yet. I think Iowa State's still been disappointing through 4 weeks. But
Brockington, Rocky Brock brought him back. You know they lost, but brought him back. We'll get into that a little bit later. But you're right. Those are the three games that I see with a chance. I think we're going to win two of those three games. We're going to finish 4-8. Now, that's my new revised prediction. But again, because now we just have to, as Tech fans, I think we need to forget what Matt Wells said to start the year. This is not a reload. This is not a, you know, status quo type of situation. This is not like Tommy Tuberville's first year at Tech, which is what I think a lot of us thought would be, to where Tommy Tuberville inherited a really talented team, and he was just trying to not screw it up, right? They ended up going 8-5 that year. And that was a really good team. Actually, Mike Leach said that 2010 team was the most talented team he ever had. And that'll be a longer pod another day because I kind of agree. But Tommy Tuberville's job was just to not rock the boat, and they went in and went 8-5. A lot of us expected because like I said, I do believe this team is talented, especially on defense and on O line, that Wells should just be able to come in and not rock the boat. And what he was saying made us believe that. Now we got to change our mindset. No, this is a rebuild. This is a first year head coach. We have back to back 5-7 seasons. We have back to back seasons where we didn't make a bowl game. We're going to have a third. That's okay because they're starting over, right? And so, to me, this whole season, if you put your mindset in the fact that this whole season is a rebuild, you're just happy when you get wins, right? So, when we finish the season 4-8, 5-7, it's not that big of a deal. I think the big deal is, how is he recruiting, right? And I will say this, Dylan, his transfer recruits have actually played pretty decently. McClain Mannix, Armand Shines, the defensive guys. Exactly. His transfer recruits have actually played really well. So let's see if that'll translate to high school recruits. Let's see if he gets guys that fit his system. We just got to readjust how we're thinking about this season. I think that's the state of my state of the team is we got to adjust how we're thinking. Before we came in the year thinking Oklahoma's the only game that we that's out of it for us. We're going to be in it every other game. No, that ain't it. I'm sorry, that ain't it. You know, so we just got to readjust our thinking. Any win's a good win at this point. And so it's just a rebuild, and we got to wait.
But I also think don't throw away the rest of the year. There's still wins on the schedule.
Yeah, Kansas. We talked about that. who knows? Is that Kansas? They may tear down a goalpost or two. I don't know. So speaking of Kansas, Man, my transition game has been just automatic today. And I must say, I got to pat myself on the back for that one. But Kansas did play a game on Saturday. They did play TCU, the other team that you think we have a really good shot at beating. And they got demolished, 51-14. So is this Kansas is still bad, or is this TCU might actually be good?
It's definitely Kansas is still bad. I will say TCU's quarterbacks looked good in this game. And again, I don't know if that's just because TCU's that or Kansas is that bad, but a little sprinkle of every quarterback in this game and they all played all right. It's hard to tell because, well, Kansas did lay down. Yeah, Kansas is bad. That's the lesson. Kansas is bad.
And I was just about to cut you off there because, yeah, that's the thing is that TCU's quarterbacks can't look good because they're not good. They're like, honestly, and I really had to think about this. Would Jet Duffy start at TCU? And I think he would.
I think he would.
So TCU's quarterbacks are no good. They're really bad. And even through this game, even though you were saying that you think they played decently, nobody threw for over 200 yards. So,
I said last week, this whole team's miserable except for Darius Anderson.
Yeah, and he played a really good game. On the Kansas side of the ball, Carter Stanley, 84 yards. Kansas defense was the Kansas defense as usual. You give up 51 points to TCU, something's wrong with you. So, yeah, Kansas is still bad, folks, for sure. Going to the other team in the Sunshine State, Kansas State, who finally got ranked to prove themselves that they are ready to come with Coach Klieman. They get beat by Oklahoma State on the road. Not a blowout, but still a pretty good beating. What do you say about this one?
I think we said going into this game, like, there is no good reason why Kansas State should be ranked going into this matchup. So I think you take that in consideration when you look at this game. But Chuba Hubbard is the best player in the Big 12, not named Jalen Hurts. Like, it is clear that guy is a dude, NFL, first round, second round talent.
Yeah, and I mean, he proved it again. He almost doubled Spencer Sanders' passing yards on the ground. I mean, Chuba Hubbard was a man among boys in this game. Skylar Thompson went back to showing that he's not a good quarterback. You know, he almost fooled me. He almost fooled me. Last week, I think I was giving him a lot of credit. He almost fooled me, but
this game came back to earth this week.
Definitely came back to earth. The Kansas State offense definitely sputtered. I mean, this game, they lost 26-13, but it was garbage time points at the end. Kansas State offense was not any good. I thought the defense actually played decently in this game. I mean, Oklahoma State put, other than the fact that they couldn't stop They couldn't stop Chuba Hubbard to save their lives, but they were able to limit points. And I think anytime, especially in the Big 12, you can hold a team with a guy like that to only 26 points, to only 10 points in the second half. I think it's not your fault you lose a game at that point. K-State got to go to the back of the lab, I think, on the offensive side of the ball. Oklahoma State, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, they didn't really prove anything to me.
Spencer Sanders likes to turn the ball over, which gives me hope going into that game.
I mean, he's young, dude. Like I said last week, I think Spencer Sanders is going to be really good in like 2-3 years.
Just got some growing pains to get through.
Yeah, for sure. And so in the game next week, that's going to be the main thing, is we're going to have to teach tackling, obviously, because Chuba Hubbard's a bad, bad boy. But also,
if you could stop Chuba Hubbard, you could win that game.
I mean, we ain't going to stop Chuba Hubbard.
Can limit Chuba Hubbard, you can maybe win that game.
I think the main thing is forcing Spencer Sanders into turvenovers, which I think of the secondary to do so, and then limiting Chuba Hubbard for sure. Spencer Sanders can beat you too. I think they're a good duo, but because Spencer Sanders is so young, his immaturity could lead to some mistakes. So maybe we won't get beat as bad as I think we're going to get beat. So who knows? Next up, we are going to talk about really was the big, the game of the week in the Big 12, or the most competitive game in the Big 12 for sure, which was Iowa State at Baylor. Is Baylor for real? They win this game 23-21, but is Baylor for real?
You could make the argument Charlie Brewer looked better than Brock Purdy in this game. And if you would have heard me say that at the beginning of the year, I would have called myself a liar. Like, Yeah, Baylor could be for real. I think Matt Rhule might be turning around with this Iowa State win. I didn't see this coming. I definitely picked Iowa State to win this game.
And I will say, poppycock, I don't think Charlie Brewer looked better than Brock Purdy. I'm going to tell you why Charlie Brewer didn't look better than Brock Purdy. Baylor, I watched most of this game. Baylor was up. The game was over after the third quarter. It was 20-0. Baylor was up. Charlie Brewer did look demonstrably better than Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy wasn't having a great game, but unfortunately on offense right now, it seemed like it was basically Brock Purdy by himself. He doesn't have much talent. All his talent left last year, so he doesn't have much talent on the offensive side of the ball. But by himself, it seemed, he brought the team all the way back, right? And to where they were leading, it was 21-20, in the fourth quarter. The Bears imploded, absolutely imploded towards the end of the game. But luckily they got the field goal. Iowa State fumbled, and that kind of, or well, my boy Brock Purdy fumbled, but that kind of ended it there. But I'll say this, I Baylor looked really good for the first three quarters. That Baylor defense, I never thought I'd say that before in my life. The Baylor defense looked really good for the first three quarters. But I got it, man. If you still telling me to choose between the two quarterbacks, give me Brock Purdy, because I know Brock Purdy's gonna make it do what it do.
So I would agree with you. I'd still take Brock Purdy. I'm just saying, in this game, you could make the argument that Charlie Brewer looked better. And I think the big takeaway from this game is Brock Purdy's really missing Hakeem Butler and David Montgomery.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And he has to take on the whole offense by himself. He's not getting a lot. Like, Charlie Brewer has Denzel Mims. And Denzel Mims is a bad boy. Like, Denzel Mims is still one of the out of the great receivers of last year. Denzel Mims is one of the few that is still here, right? And so Charlie Brewer having that safety net and a great receiver like that, he is the Baylor version of TJ Vasher. May probably better, but I think that's what helps Charlie Brewer, to where Brock Purdy doesn't have that anymore. He doesn't have his Hakeem Butler anymore, so that hurts. He doesn't have his David Montgomery anymore, so that hurts. He's doing everything by himself offensively, and that's something that I didn't take into account coming into the season when I thought Iowa State was a conference title contender. I didn't take into account that Brock Purdy would virtually be doing it all by himself, and so that's the problem there. And that's basically the Big 12 in a nutshell this week. We come to the state of the team. I mean, what going into, you know, the first week, 2 weeks of conference season, how does the Big 12 look to you?
Weak, if I'm going to be honest. Like, I think we were spot on, like, in the beginning of the year. It's still pretty obvious that, like, Oklahoma and Texas are kind of the upper echelon. And then the rest is kind of a crap show. Like, I think all the way down from, well, you could even say the third spot's up for grad. Like, I just think there's a lot of optimism that could be had. I think Texas Tech fans, we like to go through this roller coaster of emotions. I'd say calm yourself. This there are still wins on the board.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax. This whole conference is up for grabs for sure. Kansas still sucks. I'd be willing to say West Virginia is still pretty crappy. But unfortunately, I don't think there's another team in the conference that Tech is better than. And Tech's going to lose quite a bit of games, in my opinion. But like you said, because the Big 12 is not strong at all this year, there's no game. The coaches should come into every game thinking they can win it, basically. Please don't come into any other game like you did against Oklahoma, where you think you're a Mountain West team. Please come into, because there's every talent wise, I think every game you're going to go into and you're going to look on par. And so, there'll definitely be opportunities there for sure for this Tech team. So definitely relax, because like I said, I thought we'd be 2-2 at this point to begin with, right? The way the losses have happened haven't been great. But I think that we will see just how good or bad this team, this coaching staff is in the next 3 weeks, when you got three tests, Oklahoma State, at Baylor, and then Iowa State. So we'll really see. After those three games, we'll know what type of team we have here for sure.
Yeah, I think it's unfair to judge these coaches solely on these last two games. Like, let's get into a winnable conference game and see how it goes.
And then when we are 2-5, we'd be, what would you say?
fire everybody. Whole offensive staff.
Did I say this on the pod? I said how my third eye is open, and what's going to happen is David Yost is going to do a mutual split with Tech by the end of the year, and then who's going to come back? Sonny Cumbie, baby. Tech's prodigal son out from TCU is going to say, screw you, Gary P, and come to Tech, and then the offense is going to be humming again.
With Jet Duffy. Never lose a game to TCU.
Yeah, but with Jet Duffy, because Sonny Cumbie likes the mobile quarterbacks. You know, he don't. He likes his boy
Maverick McIver.
He's gonna be like, hey Bowman, get the step in. McIver, what you run? A 4.6? Nah, man. We don't do that. All right. Duffy, get your 4.3 self up here. Slang that rock. Watch him turn Jed Duffy to a Heisman candidate. Boom. Sonny Cumbie, the man, the GOAT. Got anything else to say, Bill?
No. Just relax. I think Texas Tech fans, man. We like to put us through the roller coaster of emotions. Let's not get too high or too low for the rest of the season. Let's focus on that.
And as far as me, I say panic. Everybody panic. No, I'm just joking. He is right. I think Dylan is right. We do need to relax. I think the next three games is really where we're going to judge the team. But I will say I completely understand the pessimism around the coaching staff more than anything else, because they have looked they've kind of embarrassed, been an embarrassment, especially the last 2 weeks. So, but the real chance for them to prove themselves in the next three when we play some three conference games against teams that we will be on even par with. So if we are 2-5 at that point, then we know what it is. But as far as saying that we will never win with this guy, I mean, you gotta wait and see. You never know. I mean, after Kingsbury's first year, we thought we'd always win with this guy. So there's that. So Dylan, where can people find you on social?
Let's go with @AirRaidPodcast. That's where you should find me.
That's where you can find him because his real Twitter page sucks. As far as correct. Me,
got a good Instagram though.
Yeah, your Instagram's nice. Your Instagram's decent. I F with it. As far as me, I am @Mr_ I'll be sure. My Instagram's actually pretty boring. It's just pictures of me and my family. So gross. You don't want to see that. But my Twitter's lit though. So follow that and follow @AirRaidPodcast. Follow @ViviMatador. Follow SB Nation too, I guess. They write my checks. So for Dylan, for Albie, you've been listening to the Air Raid Podcast. I'm going to be with the Matadors. As always, stay wrecked, people.